Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, it is the Luke and Pete Show Thursday edition. It's new. It's covered in shrink wrap. Let's just get pulling at it. You get your scissors out if you need to. My name is Pete Donaldson.
I'm Luke Moore. Is this a live unboxing on Luke and Pete Show for the first ever time?
Yeah. It's a live unboxing. We're going to review the box. We're going to review what extras come with it. Headphones, plug, adapters, USB power chargers. It's all in the box. It's all in the box. Mitsubishis, Panasonics.
They're all just headphones.
They're all just headphones. I bought some headphones.
Pete, it's starting to cloud over in my home studio. And I say home studio, it's a blanket fort, basically. But I'm looking out the window and the clouds are darkening. And I wonder what that means for us sat in lockdown, chiefly because last week the weather was so good that I think it was kind of a surreal situation. But I think if it starts pissing it down every day, people will be like, oh, well, I wasn't going to go out anyway, yeah.
Yeah. It was nice and sunny in Soho and it rained for a little while, so maybe you're in for a bit of rain. Has it not rained yet today?
No. Yeah, we had a little bit the very, very first thing this morning, but I think it's probably going to come back. Do you know what, actually? Over the weekend just gone, we had a couple of snow flurries, weirdly.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
It just got really cold around Sunday, kind of Monday, and on the Sunday afternoon, there were a couple of snow flurries, would you believe?
I was surprised.
I always like to chuck a little bit of a weather chat in for our international listeners who expect two British people to talk about weather.
Well, speaking of international listeners, I was watching Venfret Kofu, one of the J-League 2 teams that I like. It's the only match I've actually seen in Japan, so I sort of adopted them as my team. They got rid of big-faced Peter Utaka, John Utaka's brother.
Oh, shame.
And they've replaced him. Shame. And even though there's a lockdown and there's no football taking place, they've replaced him with sexy Mike Havanar, which, if you're not familiar with that footballer, he's not quite as good looking as he used to be. I think he needs to grow his beard back a bit more. But he's I think his mum and dad are Dutch, and they moved. I think maybe they were in some kind of, I think he was Marine or something. I can't remember either way. But he is a naturalized, well, he's a Japanese citizen, and he speaks Japanese, but he looks like a Dutch guy. And he is so handsome, and he excites me terribly in the bowels of my winky. And he is signed for my favourite J-League 2 team. But they are playing at the moment. They're doing training, so there's no social distancing there. But they seem to be training in what can only be described as a snow flurry. And they are down near Tokyo, like sort of west of Tokyo. So
he's even more handsome than Gerard Butler.
Is anyone as handsome as Gerard Butler?
Who knows?
Apparently, he used to be... I want to say an advertising executive, or maybe he sold houses or something. Or he basically in Edinburgh, he was he just had like a desk job, but through force of will and wanting not only to be an actor, but more importantly, wanting to be famous. Reading up on Gerard Butler after I watched the film that we watched on the Football Ramble on Monday, Playing for Keeps. It just seems like Gerard Butler just wanted to be famous for the sake of being famous more than becoming an actor. So he's managed it to his
He is
his
very, very handsome,
credit,
though, isn't he?
But he is very, very handsome, and he can act, and, you know, he can do everything. So
say he can act. I mean, I'm yet to see solid evidence of that.
He can act.
Pete, you're doing yourself a disservice. Some of the videos we made on the internet back in the day, you were a very good actor in those. I think you could definitely as well as Gerard Butler. But sadly, Mother Nature has not bestowed upon you the same gifts. Is that fair? Nor me.
I think that's fair, yeah. Did you ever see, because he was in 300, wasn't he? Incredible physique.
Yes.
I don't think it was Clive Owen, was it? Anyway, there's an ensemble cast of muscly yellow men.
It was Clive Anderson.
It was Clive Anderson. An ensemble cast of very, very muscular men having a scrap and stuff. But there was a parody. 300 was so popular in America that there was a parody. And I can't remember what it was called, but it was like, I think it was made by the same people who did Scary Movie. And do you know who played the Gerard Butler character in the parody?
Go on.
It was Sean Maguire from British television, EastEnders. Was he in EastEnders? Sean Maguire.
Yeah, he was. That's weird. I didn't expect you to say that.
Yeah, he moved out to LA and got a good couple of roles in him.
I didn't know that. Good on him.
Yeah, he's in Great Neck himself as well. Old Shawnee.
Good on him. Pete, on Monday, we said that we would talk about two things. We talk about a museum social media account that you wanted to touch on. And we also said we talk about Tiger King as well. So do you want to do your museum thing first?
There's a cowboy museum. You sent me this, and I'm fascinated by it. There is a cowboy museum, National Cowboy Museum, in Oklahoma. Tim Send is the head of security. I don't know whether it's due to the lockdown or just the fact that they've just decided to give him the job. They've put the head of security, Tim Send, in charge of the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum, in charge of the Twitter account. And his tweets are incredibly, incredibly wholesome. Hello, my name is Tim. And he's got like a handlebar Hulk Hogan moustache. He's got a beautiful kind of wicker Stetson and one of those cowboy kind of ties you get with like a steer on the collar.
Isn't it just called it's either a Kentucky necktie or a Texas necktie or something like that. Like a string tie, basically.
A string tie, yeah. Whenever you see like one of those, it pulls into sharp focus how ridiculous a normal tie is. You sort of go, that looks stupid. Why do we do with a normal tie? but he says, so this was one of his first tweets. Hello, my name is Tim, and I'm the head of security for the cowboy. I have been asked to take on the additional duty of social media management while the museum is closed. I'm new to this, but excited. My team will continue to protect and monitor the museum. Thanks, Tim Send. Because his name is Tim Send, I keep thinking he's writing send.
Yeah.
As if he's instructing the computer to send the thing.
That's how it has to happen.
And he's sort of wandering around the museum, and it's so pure and so life-affirming that I'm worried it might be a bit of a work, to use a wrestling parlance.
Yeah, Pete, and the thing is, sometimes, if you don't mind me just cutting in very briefly, sometimes when I say I like something or I support something or I think this thing is good, you will instantly say, oh yeah, don't enjoy it too much, because that person there that you're enjoying is almost certainly going to have very problematic political views or going to do something terrible at some point. I'm getting huge vibes of that from this.
Right, do you reckon? Okay, so Tim Send might be a have problematic views. Well, I just think it's not him writing them, or they've created a character. I just don't know.
The bit where he starts tweeting about Toy Story and Woody is just so wholesome.
Yeah,
it's
it just gets a bit much, and I want it to be true. These are one of those ones that I want to be true, because like, is it fair to say sometimes your bullshit meter isn't quite as honed as the old veteran?
You've seen more tours of the internet than me, for sure.
So he's tweeted a picture of a hat from the movie True Grit, part of the exhibition about True Grit. There's lots of interesting props and clothes. I'm told I can't try it on. Hashtag John Wayne. Lucas, my grandson, told me to use hashtags. Thanks, Tim. It's stuff like that that makes me go,
He's actually writing out the word hashtag as well, crucially, isn't he?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he's sort of saying, here are Woody and his friends from Toy Story. There's a picture of there's a little model of Woody from Toy Story. They're part of your Find Your Western exhibition, exploring the West's role in popular culture. Watch this movie with the grandkids. Try to catch them moving, Lucas and Kira. Thanks, Tim. It's just so beautifully wholesome. He's well worth a follow. the at NCWHM. That's at NCWHM. You know, check him out now before he's exposed as a right-wing lunatic.
In fact, by the time this comes out, you may already be too late.
Because we can't have nice things.
Let's talk about... thanks for that, Pete. That was wicked. Let's talk about Tiger King. How far through are you? Because I've finished it.
Oh, you finished it. I think I'm about 4 eps in. So it's really hard to talk about because you don't want to do any spoilers. But suffice to say, the amount
it's the Netflix series of choice, so for everyone. It's trending number one in the UK. So lots of people would have been seeing it or will at least be aware of it. How would you describe it, Pete? What would your synopsis of it be so far?
I think your description of men who've seen meth on tigers, men and women who've seen meth in their lives. They're just a story of, at the moment, it's a story of a man who owns a home zoo. Well, not a home zoo, like it's just a zoo that he's made himself with tigers. He wants to be a celebrity and a singer above everything else. And he's using tigers and stuff to get his way. There is a woman who sort of designed herself as a kind of like a righteous anti-zoo kind of crusader who weirdly also owns just as many tigers in her own small way. It kind of pulls into sharp focus how many tigers and lions and big cats and endangered species are in private ownership in the US. I've seen on more than one occasion as you drive through the US, there'll just be a truck stop or like a garage that sells oil, sells gas, and there'll just be like a guy who's got like a little tiger cub. So you go to that one to take a picture with the tiger or have a look at the tiger or the lion, and then you get your gas and go on your way. So it's just basically a way of bringing people into your store or your shop or your gas station. So there's loads of those around America, but these characters are just so fascinating, aren't they, Luke?
Yeah, I think two of my favourite TV shows of all time are Tiger King and Breaking Bad. One is about a series of horrendous decisions related to the drug methamphetamine, and the other is Breaking Bad. Yes, that's how I'd put it. But no, the thing about it is, I don't think meth is mentioned enough in the documentary because it's clearly front and center in everything that's happening. And it's, you know, joking aside, I mean, it is a very, very sad epidemic that kind of haunts lots of areas in the United States, particularly poor areas. So that's sad. But in terms of a documentary series, it's absolutely compelling. There's a bit in it where... and you would have already seen it if you're 4 episodes in. It's not a major plot point. But there's a bit where they talk about the amount of animals like that in captivity. And I believe it's something like probably up to 10,000 tigers. If you just focus on tigers specifically, of course, Joe Exotic and his pals, they've got loads of different... Well, they did have loads of different animals. But if you focus on tigers specifically, I think there's up to 10,000 in private ownership in the US. And there are only about 4,000 tigers left in the world. So that gives you... In the wild, yeah. Sorry. So that gives you an idea of the scale. But there's a bit in it where a guy... It's a news report, a bit of archive news report footage where a guy either gets pissed off or fed up or he's drunk or high or whatever, and he just decides to let all his animals go, right? And he lets about 40 big wild cats out of his house, of his compound, and they just maraud around. And when I was looking at it, it was in the South somewhere. I think it might have been Alabama somewhere. I was thinking... I'm pretty sure I've driven down that main road that the news footage is from and thinking, that is, imagine if that had happened while I was driving down there, just seeing, and then there was black panthers, there was tigers, there were lions. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, and the thing to add is, of course, you get desensitized to just how horrific the conditions are that those animals are living in, which is absolutely unacceptable. Not one of those places that are covered in that series have any interest or any track record of releasing those animals into the wild or trying to get involved in any kind of program to get them rewilded and all that rehomed. It's a truly remarkable watch for a lot of reasons and not all of them good, I would say.
No, yeah, it's that kind of mentality that you know, sometimes see pictures of if you're like, if like people talk about on Tinder, men who like have pictures with like lions
and oh yeah, they're all sedated and stuff, aren't they?
It's so fucking weird.
On a more positive note, before I forget, one thing it really did hit home to me was, you know, I've often said this on this show and elsewhere, that in the US they understand that everything, and I mean everything, for good or bad, and we've seen it this week or last week with Trump and all the stuff that's going on with coronavirus and how really corrosive it can be. But for better or worse, I feel like in the US they understand that everything is an extension of the entertainment industry. And the charisma on display from these guys and these men and women who own these places and who sort of almost rely on tourist income, people coming to their parks, their online presence. The charisma present is off the charts. They're all so good on camera. It's incredible when you take a moment to stop and notice it.
I don't think there's a single American that I've ever spoken to who couldn't be a TV presenter. I just can't. I don't think I've ever met one before. I can just put a camera on them. They'll do a fine job. They are excellent talkers, supremely confident and comfortable in their own skin. And I find that very alluring.
What also that series does pretty well is it twists and turns it. When you just think you've got it nailed down, you know what's happening, it changes. And there is also an element to this where, and I'm going to be honest here, where you see one of the guys, I forget which one it is, and he's doing all the stuff he's doing, and it's bad. I mean, let's be honest, it's fucking bad. If you're breeding tiger cubs for commercial purposes and treating them in that way, it is horrific. And we all get that, and we all understand it. And on a human level, you can relate to that and be appalled by it. On the other hand, in one of the scenes, he's driving down the street with a little monkey on his shoulder feeding him pizza. And that is a flex. There's no question about it. That is a flex.
Look, if it wasn't completely unpalatable, that's what I'd be doing.
You would be 100% doing it.
Oh, massively. I'd have to learn to drive first, but, you know, it'd be a good time to learn to drive now, wouldn't it? Good Lord. No cars on the road.
Wow. I don't think you can, though. You'd have to teach yourself, sadly.
Yeah. Well, who's going to bloody stop me? That's what I say. the police will stop me. And go, sorry, sir. Where are you going? Have you got any reason to be out on the roads? Go, well, I mean, I'm trying to learn to drive, mate.
Yeah, and you're stopping me. The quicker you get this, quicker you get out of my way, the quicker I'll be done.
Yeah, I think I've got this figured out. I would like to criticise you massively there because you absolutely dropped a spoiler I've not got to yet. So,
what's that?
Disgraceful about
the monkey
letting tigers out. Let the tigers out and the pizza monkey as well. Disgraceful.
No, that's not a spoiler. No. That you've already seen that. That's nothing to do with the narrative. They talk about. They do a general scene setter right at the start where they say the amount of tigers in captivity are this amount. Check out this news footage, and it's a person that doesn't feature in the series. You don't meet him or anything. They've just said, "Oh, the police have been called to this thing because all these animals have been let out." Here's an example.
Maybe I was hopped up on.
Too much meth, mate. To lay off the pipe. And start following the story. All right, should we have a little break and then do some emails?
All right, then. It's kind of what we do every week. I mean, could mix it up a bit. Like, just start. Can we just scream for the last 15 minutes of the show?
All right, you do it.
All right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I've been told I'm not allowed to scream for the rest of the show. We are back on the Luke and Pete Shortcake. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, it's always the same email address. It's not changed in 2 years. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Treat yourself.
Oh, very nice. This email is excellent. It's from a chap called James. And what I like about this is, well, there's two things. One is it's along the lines of trying to impress a girl. And we asked for that kind of content last week, didn't we? What's the most embarrassing thing you've done to impress a girl or guy? I said that I drank a load of undiluted orange squash. It's common or garden. It's fairly boring. It's tame. James has stepped up. And what I like about this particularly is, listen to the story carefully. He does not learn his lesson. Hello at Luke and Pete. I have two stories on how I tried to impress a girl and ended up in a mischief. First off, when I was in year 7, for those international listeners, that is age about 11 or 12, there was a girl I fancied called Jodie. A few of my friends went out with a few of her friends, and we all arranged to go to Minworth Swimming Baths in Birmingham, not far from our school, which had 3 diving boards, a 1 metre, a 3 metre, and a 5 metre. For some reason, in my experience, all the girls at my school called Jodie were pretty. Can you back that up, Pete?
I can't necessarily remember Jodie. I'll have to get on Facebook.
For me, I think it was a horrific comment. For me,
why is that a horrific comment? I don't remember any Jodies from my school. Some Jodies.
Fair enough. Listen, in James's story, Jodie, who may or may not be a Geordie, had broken her wrist. And so she wasn't able to go in the water. So she sat in the gallery section just watching us on the diving boards. Sounds to me like James had an audience. He said, me being Billy Big Balls, after a few decent jumps and dives, I decided to try a flip off the 5 meter platform, which resulted in me belly flopping, getting winded, and having the lifeguard jump in to help me out. Embarrassing. The second time, listen to this, right? This is the second part of his story, completely separate occasion. The second time, me and my family had moved to Spain, and so we went cliff jumping. I went with my best mate and a new English girl who had just moved over to Spain, and I was keen to show her where the best place to cliff jump was, right? But this time, on the way to where we were going to jump off, I spotted an abandoned pedalo, which looked as though it had been there for a while on the rock. So I went to get a closer look. I lost my footing on some loose stones, slid down the hill and off the cliffside in just a pair of shorts and flip-flops, landing about 10 feet below in the shallow, rocky water. I was bleeding from several grazes, and had a massive gash in my leg. I also fractured my ankle. my mate and the new girl had to take my weight on the walk back to the house, and they ended up going out with each other.
Ah, yes.
Keep up
the
good work,
James. Come on, you
got to
be happy with that. You brought someone together with your gashes.
From his tone, I don't think he is happy with that.
He still hurts. Still hurts.
That could have been worse, couldn't it?
Yes, he could have literally died. And we wouldn't have had any show content. So if nothing else, it was worth it.
Well done, James.
Yeah, I thought he was going to land in the pedalor.
That would have been nice.
That would have been cool. And then pedaled off into the sunset. See you later, losers.
Did I dream this? Or was there a plot to a film a few years ago where a load of people were out on a boat in the sea, in the open sea, and they went swimming off it? And then they realised that the ramp thing wasn't down. They couldn't get back on the boat. Was that a film?
I don't know how that would work, to be honest. Yeah, no, not.
I think it was.
Oh, right, okay, right. Sounds like a boring start to a film.
Yeah, you're the one with the film club, mate. You should know.
Lovely old job. George Coxon has come up with a email. Homework. Hi, guys. First off, I just want to say I absolutely love the show. I've been listening since the heady days of Luke and Pete's Summer, and I always listen to it as soon as it's out. On the most recent episode, you set some homework, the most ridiculous, regrettable thing you've done to try and impress a girl. When I was at school, there was this girl in my year who I'd fancied since year 7. She was a very pretty girl, and we spoke a fair bit across the years and had the same friendship circles. When it came to sixth form, this is the long game, isn't it? And more importantly, house parties. We were both invited to a small party gathering by one of our friends whose parents were away for the weekend. In the hours leading up to the event, me and this girl were texting, and I thought it was going really well. She asked me if I was going, and then when I said I was, she replied, "Oh, great, you'll be able to look after me then." Winky face. This was, in my mind, obviously a great sign, and I had high hopes when I turned up later that evening. If anyone is listening and they're like 18, just know that it never goes well.
Yeah.
Anything you're excited about, any fantasies you might have as to how well something's going to go, it's never going to be quite as good or indeed anywhere near what you think it's going to be like. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that can probably be summed up by the cumulative almost 80 years of both of our lives.
Obviously great sign. The party went on for a few hours with about 10 of us there drinking and having fun. And then we ended up playing surely the legendary Have You Ever drinking game. Now, at this point, I'd been doing well and playing it cool with the girl in question. I hadn't come on too strongly or completely ignored her. I'd got the balance pretty perfect.
He'll be the judge of that.
He'll be the judge of that.
I think you're saying, I think you'll find it was pretty perfect, actually.
But that wasn't going to last long. The game had been going for a few rounds and was getting more daring. Being a bit of a boring bastard, I hadn't had a drink for a few turns, including such gems as I have never had sex in a car, and I have never smoked a cigarette, and I was starting to feel a little bit self-conscious. Was she losing interest because I wasn't a mysterious or interesting character? The next person to go was clearly a bit lost for something to say, as a lot of the common ones had already gone. Obviously, giving up a little, they said, "I have never taken heroin." And in my mind, that was an open goal. What a better way to portray myself as an interesting, as deep person than to say I was into hardcore class A drugs,
leaving out
that I had never smoked a cigarette. So I took a drink. and there was a sudden gasp from a couple of people and an immediate awkward silence from everyone else. Realising straight away that I'd fucked up, I said, a little too loudly and desperately, "Only once!" But the damage was done. The girl gave me a very weirded outlook and everyone else nervously carried on the game. I wanted the ground to swallow me up, and I went home later that evening feeling accurately like an absolute bell end.
So I opened the zoo in Oklahoma.
The thing is, the way that was written, I thought they said, the next person to go was clearly a bit lost. So the way he's written that makes it sound like he hadn't said that he'd taken heroin. But in the story, George in Cambridgeshire lied and said that he had taken heroin. I spoke to her a few times after that, before the end of sixth form, but that was never really the same. Strangely, it turns out that pretending to be a heroin user doesn't lead to getting off with pretty girls.
Yeah.
Keep up the cracking show, George in Cambridgeshire. Yeah. Yeah, don't say that.
It's absolutely stunning to me that George, who, lest we forget, up until that point, had been playing it pretty perfect, could then get it so wrong.
Yeah, he thought that was a home run. He thought that was like stealing fourth base, didn't he?
Yeah, it's. I mean, he's not pulled that off with the requisite panache, has he?
Yeah, I haven't killed a man.
No. We didn't burn her. What about this from Joseph T? I like this one. He says, "Afternoon, chaps. Hope you are all safe and well. My tragic tale happened at the age of 14 after being introduced to a girl from another school on MSN webcam."
Cool. Now,
the absolute queens of MSN Messenger, Microsoft Messenger, whatever it's called, webcam chat, are... the two girls, the two Lauras on Revisiting, which is another Stakhanov show, which you should definitely check out. Those of you who listened to Laura on Luke and Pete's show the other week when Pete was away, that's her show over there on Stakhanov called Revisiting. They are the queens of MSN chat. Anyway, but this is a little foray into that for us. So Joseph goes on to say, "My best mate had introduced me while I wasn't wearing my wire rim glasses. I was blind as a bat and wouldn't start wearing contacts until I was 18. So, after wooing said girl on MSN for a good length of time, we decided to meet. We were going to meet at the South End Odeon at 12 o'clock, but I had a dilemma. How could I turn up as a geeky, bespectacled lad when she didn't know I wore glasses thanks to our webcam meeting? I'd only ever sent her pics without my goggles. I went on three dates with this girl." I mean, Pete, I mean, you're a man who wears glasses. Is this a dilemma you've kind of encountered, or...?
Not really. I never really had a massive problem with my specs. I remember when I first got them, I used to loudly proclaim, I used to have them in, you know how you say when you're in primary school, you used to have like little drawers and you had each individual drawers and had your bits and bobs in it, pencil cases and stuff.
Mm.
I remember the first day that I had to wear spectacles, I had my glasses case in my drawer and I kept on announcing, I was too scared to put my glasses on, so I kept on announcing, "Oh, this is my pencil case. Here's my pencil case." I kept on pretending that my spectacle case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was just so incredibly embarrassed. I've always been specky and proud.
Nice. Well, listen, Joseph goes on to say, "I went on three dates with this girl and paid for us to see two films. I watched, or should I say listened, to both films, and I still could not tell you what the fuck happened in Clive Owen's King Arthur or Garfield, although that seems it's probably not a bad thing. Things got particularly bad when my mate was waving and calling me across the high street, and as I had no clue who it was, I ignored them while said girl kept asking why people kept shouting at me as if I didn't know them. Safe to say, love was not ignited, and after a third meeting on the seafront, I was binned off." What a shocker. Although Joseph T adds a kind of unnecessary addendum. He says, "Saw her a few years later in a nightclub and had another crack, so I won playing the long game."
I
showing off.
Don't like it when people say having a crack.
No. What do you prefer?
I just find it really disrespectful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have I had a crack at you over the years, Pete?
No, but you've touched me up a few times.
Consensually?
Made comment. Consensually on you've consented to doing it, yeah.
Yeah, this is problematic, isn't it, in 2020? It was a different time back in 2018.
I'm enjoying this bit of self-isolation.
Yeah, exactly. I'll find you.
Can't get me.
I'll find you. So I think, yeah, you're right. Having a crack is probably a problematic use of language that I should have edited out on behalf of Joseph T, but I haven't used his full name, so he's not going to be outed as a serial misogynist, I suppose. So that's something. Yeah, try and keep your language and your emails less problematic if you can.
That's all right. It's that's very much the thin end of a big wedge when it comes to emails to the local people.
Is that your big wedge there?
Email box. That's my big wedge there. You're not touching it.
All right, I think that's probably all we've got time for, isn't it, Peter?
I reckon so. Let's get the frick out of here.
Even though there's nothing else to do, but you've got to do other stuff as well. You've got to mix it up.
Got to mix it up.
All right, then. I'll see us out, shall I?
See you later. All right, see us out.
Yeah, thanks very much for sticking with us. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. And like I said on Monday, just do get in touch. hello@lukeandpeter.com. Tell your friends about it. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. And we hope to hear from you soon. Keep it easy, Pete. Stay safe.
Don't let the door hit you on the arse on the way out.
Oh, cutting.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.